Welcome to the WebSphere Support Technical Exchange. Today's topic is Understanding Your CIG's Interdependency Analyzer Data. Today's presenter is M. James. M. is a technical specialist for CIG's tools working at the IBM Hursley Lab in the United Kingdom. He has 20-plus years of experience working with CIGs as both an application programmer and a system programmer. Currently, he is the lead developer on the CIGs IA product and has technical specialist role for the other CIGs tools. M has a degree in computer science. At this point in time, I would like to turn the presentation over to M.
Thank you, Joseph. So if we could move on to the first slide. These are the acknowledgements, so we can move on to the agenda, which is slide 3. Okay, so what I'm going to cover today is what I've called understanding your CIG's interdependency data. So what we're going to cover, a quick number of foils on what CIG's IA, just to remind you all what the product does. Then we've got some slides on what actual data do we collect and where do we store them. And then there's a couple of slides on covering the sample jobs we provide to load the data into DB2. And then I'm going to take an example of one of the dependency tables where the CIGs data is stored and go through how it's organized and how you can build up your queries. And I'll do that initially looking at the actual SQL commands, and then we'll go through how you can look at the same data using the CIGs IA Explorer plugin. So moving on to slide 4, we'll start with the overview. On to slide 5. So what is CIGs IA? As you're probably all aware of, CIGs IA captures a number of relationships about the data used within the CIGs region. So you have information such as the transactions used, the programs used, files, etc. It also captures DB2 information, MQ, and IMS and DLI. And if you're a customer with Natural and Adabas, we do capture some Natural and Adabas resource information. So that's the sort of the dependency collector. We also have a number of other features. We collect affinity data to help you with progressing towards workload management. And we have a number of scanners that actually scan CIGs load data sets to see if you have possibly got CIGs commands or well, it could cause an affinity. So that's from running a scanner on the load data set rather than collecting it online. We also got, not mentioned on this slide, we also got now a feature called the command flow data, which captures data in the chronological order for a given number of transactions, and we'll look at that later. So basically all the data we capture is loaded into a DB2 database, and then you can use the CIGs Explorer plugin to integrate, to interrogate the data there. So moving on to slide 6. So now I've got a couple of slides why you'd want to use CIGs IA, just a reminder of a number of things it can do. So you can use it from a day-to-day activities, or as we've got on this slide, for major projects. So the ones that are familiar to many of you is workload balancing, thread safe analysis. I should be on another bullet there. If you've got mergers and acquisitions within your company, you need to understand the CIGs resources used. Also, it can be assists with the CIGs TS upgrades. So if you've got the latest CIGs TS version 4.2, CIGs IA can help you upgrade to that version. And as I mentioned earlier, thread safe analysis, the foil's incorrect here, it's mentioned twice. And other things that are new in CIGs TS, like CIGs events, deployment. Also, it can help you understand your vSAN file usage if you're looking to migrate from vSAN to DB2. And also, helps you understand your batch window analysis of what transactions or programs you might want to take, disable, or take offline whilst running your batch window. So those are the sort of major projects you can use KicksIA to assist you with. So moving on to slide 7. From a day-to-day point of view, you can actually use them to, an application developer could use them to see what resources are changing within a program. So if he's doing a change to a file resource, then you can see which programs actually use that file. And also some companies actually use it for governance. Once they have gone into a thread-safe environment, they check that new program changes don't introduce any other thread-safe issues or site rules, your own site rules. Number of customers with COBOL programs, like in the development, they put on they use display to help them with their development, to help track their changes. But when moving that forward into the test environment and the production environment, those display commands should be removed, and KicksIA will highlight that because it writes to a TD queue. That's one instance of a site rule. Also, it captures them. First, it was timestamp information. So for each exec KICS call that's issued or exec SQL call that's issued, we capture timestamp information. And that can be useful when looking at problems that have occurred. What new commands have I seen since a given time in the day? Moving on to slide 8. So quickly going over the architecture behind KicksIA. So basically, the collector structure is an online collector for the runtime. So within each KICS region, we have a number of KicksIA exits which capture data information, and these are written to a data space. And periodically, there's a long-running task that wakes up on time or on the number of records and writes out from the data space to a VSAM files. So this is for dependency collector goes to dependency VSAM files, and affinity collector goes to the affinity data VSAM files. The command flow feature is slightly different, and the records are written out to a log stream, and these are then copied into a GDG file before loading to DB2. So that's the collector side of things. As I said, so there's a number of exits that write to a data space and then out to VSAM. Moving on to slide 9. This is now a new picture of the reporting structure. As I mentioned earlier, we basically load all the VSAM information and the logstream information into a DB2 database. From there, you can use the Explorer IA plugin or any DB2 SQL interface such as Spoofy to inquire on that data. So moving on to slide 10. So we're now going to look at what data do we collect. So if we go on to the next slide. Okay, so we collect a number of different data into a number of different DB2 tables. So the first thing we collect some region information, and we'll have a look at that later. And that region data is collected when we run a dependency data collection or an affinity data collection. So on the same day, we collect KICS region data and then dependency data, which is the KICS DB2, MQ, IMS, natural, and ADAMAS. The affinity data is separate, and the new command flow data is separate. So moving on to slide 12. The KICS region data information we capture is stored in a DB2 table called CIU region info. And as I said, it's collected and loaded when we're running interdependency or affinity data collections. And we have the Apple ID, the KICS SysID, the KICS release, the KICS dataset, CSD dataset name, the CSD lists, the storage protect key, what the region is running under. That's used for some thread-safe analysis. And the start and stop time for the two different collections, interdependency and affinity. So as I said, that's loaded. Every time you run the load jobs for affinity or dependency collection, we actually repopulate this table. Moving on to slide 13, the interdependency data we collect all KIX APIs and SPIs and we store them into a table called CIU KIX data, and this is one we'll look at in more detail later on today. So we also include the FEPI commands in there for customers using FEPI. Our DB2 data goes into the CIU DB2 data table, and similarly IMS and DLI calls go into a CIU IMS data and MQ into CIU MQ data. As I mentioned before, for customers with Adabas and Natural, there is a CIU Natural data table. So moving on to slide 14. So these are some of the KIX APIs we collect. I'm not going to go through them all, but you can see at the end that the last ones that I did there is Atom Services and Events. So we do keep up to date with the latest level of KIX TF. So that's all I want to say about that one. So moving on to slide 15. So this is a picture of the CINT transaction, and this is where you select what data you wanted collecting. So this is for KIX APIs. So you can, for performance reasons, you might want to collect data at separate times. So for 1 week, you might want to collect the program files and transactions and task control and TSQs and TDQs. And another week, you might want to capture WSA addressing and event processing and Atom services, all these new resource types. You'll also notice there that some of the resources are highlighted with an asterisk and in a different color. And these are resources where you can select to collect detailed information. And I would recommend that you should always collect detailed information for programs and transactions and files, because these are helpful and underused to understand, especially when you're doing thread-safe analysis. So we'll look at what that detailed information is later. So moving on to slide 16. As I said, the detailed information. So these detailed information go into separate DB2 tables. And as you can see there, program goes into CIU program detail, etc. TSQ goes into CIU TSQ detail data. And there's also a table for web services details and exit. And the exit is the only differently named table. For some reason, we've called it CIU Exit Info. Basically, what we capture there when we're running the exits and writing data to the VSAM files, we basically do an inquire, we issue the KIX SPI inquire program and store all the information back from that program, or inquire transaction. So we store all the information that you would get from an inquire SPI transaction. So again, moving on to slide 17. So the KIX SPIs we cover, we capture all of them, inquire, set, create, all those good SPI commands. And again, the new CSD commands that were introduced in TS 4.1. Then moving on to slide 18. Again, so this is another picture of where you can select which KIX SPIs to collect data for. And again, for performance reasons, you can choose to do, you know, 1 week for programs, files, and transactions, and another week for transient data, DB2, and etc. Moving on to the slide 19. With the DB2, MQ, and IMS data, you don't get the option of breaking down what you collect into tables or views or within DB2. It's an all or nothing. And as a default, these options come switched to no. So if you've got DB2 or MQ or IMS in your environment and you want to capture information, then you need to set these to Y for yes. So again, moving on to slide 20. Again, I mentioned that the other part we collect is affinity data, and that these are broken down into the two different types of affinities. And so we collect the inter-transaction affinities, which are listed there. And if you move on to slide 21, we'll see the transaction system affinities, also again including the new CSD commands. So moving on to slide 22. Again, this is within the CINT transaction where you would choose what KIX affinities to collect into transactional and transactional system. So moving on to slide 23. And again, so the affinity data now is captured into three different tables. We group each affinity into a single row. So we'll group all the CWA affinities in a single row within a region. And then the command, so and they go into CIUF group data table. And then we'll have a CIUF command data. And this table consists of a row for each transaction and program that contain a KIX command that might cause an affinity. So for each, and that ties in with the previously table, the group data. So if we've got a CWA affinity, we'll have one group in that region, in the record in the CIU affinity group data, and for each program transaction pair that's actually issued an address CWA, we will have an entry in the CIUAF command data table listing all those transaction and programs and attaching it to the group in the previous table. And the CIU affinity index is just a table that enables us to keep track of the number of groups we have for each different type of affinity. Moving on to slide 24. As I mentioned before, near when the last release of KIX-IA, we had a feature called Command Flow. So this is a sort of overview of the command flow again. So it's a number of exits, as I mentioned earlier, writing to logstream and then extracting the data into DB2. So moving on to slide 25. So in the command flow, we capture data. We can ask to capture data for up to 5 transactions. And we also give you the ability to give it a name. So this is command flow 1, command flow 2, or test 1, test 2. We capture all KIX IMS DB2MQ commands, and we capture them in the chronological order. And we also capture the task IDs and unit of works and return codes and response codes. So this data is then loaded into two DB2 tables, the command flow data table and the command flow index. There'll be one, the command flow index will have one entry for each command flow ID you've captured. So you'll have an entry for test 1, test 2, test 3. And within that information, it contains information about the transactions you've asked the command flow to capture information for. And the command flow data itself will have a entry for each exec KIX command you've done and the start of transactions, etc. So moving on to slide 26. This is the CINT panel where you can switch on your command flow. So there's an option to switch it on. There's an option to give the ID. And you can list up to 5 transactions. And this was new in version 3.1, and we put 5 in there as a random number of transactions that you might want to capture information for. And moving on to slide 27. So now we'll look at how we load the data, look at the batch jobs that are available for us to load the data. So moving on to the next slide, 28. So as I mentioned before, the KIX-IA exits store data in the MVS data space, and then the long-running transaction CINB writes that out to vSAM file. You can do that periodically, sort of every 5 minutes, or you can have an option of doing it every n-thousandth record updated within the data space, or you can just have it update the vSAN file when you stop or pause KIXIA. So as I mentioned before, KIXIA provides configurable sample jobs to load vSAN data into the DB2 tables. And we also do provide some sample jobs to extract to CSV files if you wish to use a KIXIA UDB on your workstation. But that's not a supported facility at present. And moving on to slide 29. So some of the installation jobs run that you need to run only at installation time, and these load data into faciliting tables. So there's a job called CIT load, which loads a static table called CU Translator, and that's basically got the program product number and the name of the KIX compiler, COBOL compiler, assembler compiler, etc. There's also another table called CIU ThreadSafe command table, which we use in our ThreadSafe reporting, and that gets loaded with information about the which exec KIX commands are ThreadSafe or not ThreadSafe by KIX release. So that could, although KIXIA uses it within its ThreadSafe reporting, the facilitating table, that could be quite an useful table for you as customers to have a look at by saying, well, which commands are ThreadSafe, then at what version of KIX do they become ThreadSafe. There's a CIU version table, which is used by the Explorer plugin, and this just contains the version of the KIXIA DB2 database and the latest service level on it, and APAR numbers. So that we can then say, use that from within the IA plugin to make sure that the plugin and the database you're looking at are compatible. And there's also another job that loads some application description resources. So moving on to slide 30. So loading affinity data, there's two jobs there called CIU Affinity LD and CIF RD. So if one loads the affinity into DB2, and the other one produces a report from the DB2 data. That's quite straightforward for affinity. Dependency data, we provide five or six jobs here. There's one job called CIU PDB, and that will load all the dependency data. So it'll load the KIX table, the IMS table, the MQ table, DB2, natural, and it'll load the detail tables, for example, the program detail, the transaction detail, TSQ details, etc. We also provide separate jobs in that CIUU PDB1 will load the KIX dependency data and the detailed tables. Two will load MQ. CIU DB2 will load DB2. Three will load MQ. Four will load IMS DLI, and N will load the natural tables. But again, as I mentioned earlier, all of these jobs also load the CIU region information table. That's the first step they do. So moving on to slide 31. As I mentioned before, command flow is different, so there's a number of three jobs here. I'm not sure why our developers decided to make it three jobs, but here we go. One copies from Logstream to GGG, so that's CIU JL copy. And then there's a UUPD5 that loads the DB2 tables from GGG. And there's a CIU JL DEL that deletes the data from the log stream. As I mentioned earlier, we do provide some CSV jobs for the KIX dependency table. So for all the KIX dependency, KIX, MQ, IMS, and DB2, and the detailed tables, we do provide jobs to load to a CSV file, which then you can download onto your workstation. We do not provide those CSV jobs for the affinity data. Moving on to slide 32, I'll quickly take you through one of the long jumps here, and this is the one for reloading Qix dependency data. So the number of steps in here. So the first thing we do, as I mentioned, is we update the CIU region information table. And then we have a number of files that extract from the VSAM files into a QSAM file. And we've got two steps there because the Qix data has two VSAM files associated with it. CIU int 1 Qix data with a key less than 32, and CIU int 5 has data with a key, a resource key greater than 32 up to 255. These new resource types that now have a size of 255. So once we've extracted there, we run a program to convert some of the data that's stored in, for instance, like the EIB FN value. We convert them from 0E02 for a link of 0, and actually put in the words link and program rather than the command. And then there's a step 40, there's another program, and so the way we actually load a DB2 is, for performance reasons, we actually read through the VSAM, the file, and do we have an entry in this, in the DB2, and do we want to replace it? And if we haven't got an entry, we write out to another file called CIUFOUT. Or if we want to update a current entry, we write it to that CIUF out and delete it from the DB2. And then the next step, we'll use that CIUF out and we use the DB2 load utility to load the data, which is far quicker than the program doing SQL inserts. And then step 45 in there, as I mentioned before, is a program that actually loads the detail tables, so CIU program detail, CIU trans ID detail, etc. And two of the jobs at the end of each of these load jobs, which is important, is we need to refresh the CIU resource table, which I haven't mentioned as yet. This contains a list of all the resources by the Qix Apple ID, and the resource type and the resource name, and this is used by the Explorer plugin. So you'll have a entry in there for each resource type, program, file, and trans ID, web service, AMP services, DB2, queues, MQQs. So that's quite an important two steps to have to check the output from, and I think a 4 is acceptable from the CIU unload, 0 on the CIU reload. Moving on to slide 33. So those are the jobs we supply to load these DB2 tables. Now I'm going to look at the Qix table and look at how it's made up and what information we store. So moving on to the next slide. Slide 34. So I'm going to look at one of the dependency tables. So we look at the structure, we look at the unique key for it, and then we're going to look at how we can build up some queries to answer some questions. And that we're going to do that using SQL commands. And then later afterwards, we'll look at the same, how we can access the same data through the IA Explorer. As I said, we're going to look at the Qix data table, CIU Qix data. So the other dependency data and affinity tables, to an extent, have the same sort of initial key and look for data. And as I said, they're all documented in the user guide. So moving on to slide 35. So this is the information stored in the Qix data table. So we store it by the Apple ID, the the home sysid, transaction ID, program, function, type, and then the object name itself and the object length. And for certain exec kicks commands where there's a remote sysid or remote name available, we will store that information. Also record that if at the time the exec kicks command was issued, whether this transaction or command was associated with a terminal. We also record the TCP mode at the time of the command. And we also indicate whether this command could be a possible affinity, i.e. it's an NQDQ or a getMain or any of the exec kicks commands that could cause an affinity. We store the offset of the exec kicks command or the exec SQL command if we were in the kicks in the CIU DB2 table. We store the program length, and we also store for the exec kicks commands that have like a program link, whether it's got a com area or channel associated with it. And the last three down the bottom you'll find in all the tables is we store the use count of the exec kicks command and the first run and last run. And now that is an option within the CENT. There's an use count option in one of the CINT panels which you must switch on to get your to keep those first run and last run counts updated on the use count. So moving on to, so that's the columns within the CIU kicks data. So moving on to slide 36. The unique key we use within this DB2 table by creating an index is on Apple ID, home sysid, transit, program function, object, object length, and also the remote sysid name, remote name, offset, and program length. So if you made a change to your program and the length has changed or the offset of some of the exec kicks commands have changed, you will see an entry for both of those within this DB2 table. Now, moving on, we'll now look at how you can start thinking of generating SQL commands to answer some of your questions. So moving on to slide 37. So as I said, the main ones that you'll use when looking at generating queries is the region, transaction, program, because the kind of questions you're asking using those three are what resources are used within this region, what resources are used within transaction, and what resources are used by program, or a combination of three. And then the function and the type and the object is when you're going to look at queries and narrowing down that query. So you, by using the type, you can narrow it down and show me all the file resources used within this region, within this transaction, within this program. And again, narrowing it down further, you might only want file writes, so then you add function in there. So type equals file, function equals write. The object you do is if so the other way around, looking up, rather than asking the question what resources are used by this program, the question you do is given an object name such as file thread, where is file thread used? What programs use file thread? What transactions use file thread? Or which region is file thread used in? So there's sort of two sides to looking at these SQL queries. You're looking at going down from starting from a region, transaction, or program, and moving down and down into the resources and the function and the type. And then once you've found an object name in there, you might want to know where else, what other programs, what other transactions, what other regions use that same object. And so moving on to slide 38, we start looking at some KicksIA queries. So, you know, you can show all Kicks resources by region, so you can do a select distinct Apple ID and object from CEO Kickstarter. So that will give you all your distinct resources used, so files, programs, any type. Similarly, you could show programs used by region. So here, you'll only see the programs used, i.e. a program where we have issued an exec kicks command. So program and transaction are quite interesting in that they are both, a program is in the program column and it can also be an object in the object column when you've done an exec kicks link program. So the command will be the link and the type will be program and the object name will be the program name. Similarly with transactions. So that's something to be aware of. Moving on to slide 39. Again, this is some more moving on. So as I said, so if you want to be more specific about your resources, you can start adding in where clauses to your SQL commands. So you can add in where type equals file. So and then the second one here, and we're adding in the function. So we're looking for all the transaction IDs that have created a file write. So all transactions who have issued an exec kicks write file, we will show you the transaction ID and the actual file name, i.e. the object name. So you can see quite clearly the number of things. It's quite powerful what you can do here is, and all the different types and functions are documented in the user guide. So you can type web service, type goes atom service, type goes program, and all the different functions, a function link or xscuttle with program. So moving on to slide 40. And again, so we can now go and look at transaction ID, program, function, object, the type file, and you want to narrow it down to one Kix region again, so you can actually use the Apple ID this time in the where clause rather than in the select clause. So moving on to slide 41. Again, this is another example where we're adding more and more information, so we want to break it down to showing all the web services used in a Kix region, Kix ABC, and for a specific program. Moving on to slide 42. So this is the final one, I think, where we're looking at, so which regions actually use a file. So this is asking the question upwards. So you can ask, show me all the distinct regions that actually use the file act fill. So you need to add two clauses there. You need to set the type equals the file, because I'm interested in files, and the object name, which is the file name, equal to act fill. So that will show you all the regions. Similarly, you could have done show all transactions, or show me all programs that actually use this file, or a combination of all three, select distinct Apple ID, trans ID, program. So again, a very powerful way of finding information about your application resource usage. So moving on to the next slide, 43. So I mentioned there's a number of samples in the dataset SCIU SQL and the CIU SAMP-N. SAMP 0 contains Kix examples. One of them in there is show me Kix resources associated with a terminal transaction. So these are ones where we're looking at the other columns that we store information for, such as the affinity column or the TermTran column or the TCD mode column. So again, if you're interested in more specific sort of questions, then you're looking at using the other columns provided within that table. Moving on to slide 44. Now we're on to the final part, which is the Explorer. So moving on to the first Explorer slide. So in the KIC-SIA Explorer, we have a KIC-SIA perspective, and this has a number of views. And we're going to just initially look at some of these views and understand what they mean with a reference to the KIC-DB2 data we've collected and looking at the CIU KIC-S data table, which we've just looked at. So some of the views we're going to look at today are the regions, the query editor, program transaction ID used by and uses, and the resources view. So we'll start off with the regions view, I believe, on slide 46. So basically, this regions view lists you all the regions in which you've collected KIC-SIA data. So from here, you can do a right mouse click and show all resources for that region, and that populates the resources view. Or show files, show maps, show TDQs. We've selected the files, maps, TDQs, and TSQs, and programs used, and transactions used, as they were the, when KIC-SIA first came out, those were the resources it collected information about. So those were the classic KIC-S resources, files, maps, TDQs, TSQs, and programs and transactions. The programs used and transaction used populates the programs and transaction view, which you'll see usually see underneath the regions view. And again, from there, you can actually put in a filter to show only certain types of KIC-S regions, starting with IYD or IYC or whatever, or your test regions or your production regions. So that's the regions view. So moving on to the next slide, slide 47, yep. So as I said, there's also a queries view, and we provide a number of sample queries. So from here, you can create, edit, and run queries, and the results of the queries comes out in the resources view, which we'll look at in a minute. And that's the, moving on to the slide 48. So this is the query editor. So when you right-click in the query view and select create a new KIC-S query, this is the kind of menu you will get. And we'll look at some of these later on when looking at specific questions. So basically, in the previous slides, in the sort of SQL, we were looking at the select from table. Well, this is now represented by the show part of this column on the right-hand side. So here, this will list all the columns in the CIU KIC-S table that you can actually select on. So I'm going to want to show the region Apple ID, the transaction, the program, the resource type, and the resource name. The middle part of this is the middle and the right-hand part is where you can select the filter. So this is, in theory, where you put the where clause. So in the previous example, I had type equals file. Here, you say, right, I want to add that column to the filter results, and then I want to select the resource type is file. So this is a much friendlier interface and provides all the possible resource types in a list for you, so you can generate your own queries. With KIC-SIA queries, you can actually save the actual select commands it generates, so you could actually use the query editor to generate some queries and then run them in a spoofy or another reporting environment on your host, doing a copy and paste. So moving on to slide 49. So this is looking at the results of running one of those queries. As I said, this is the output from queries is populates the resources view, and so that gives you for this query all the programs that issue an address in this given region. So that lists it by the transaction ID, by program, the address, and the offset on the address. So again, I've selected in this query to show trans ID, program, address, and offset in that order. So from here, on any of the resources, you can actually right-click, and it brings up some further information that we can run an used-by program or an used-by transaction, and that will tell you all the programs, if in the case of used by program, that has used that resource. So if you right clicked on program DSWDE2W in there, for instance, it'll show you all the programs that have actually used that given program. And you can also use uses resources, and that's applicable to only TransID and program types. So from there, you right-click and show me all the resources used within that transaction or within that program. Moving on to slide 50. There we go, slide 50. As I mentioned as well, that we've got a program and transaction view, which is populated. So basically, these are all the transactions and programs we have collected information for, and you can filter them by region by selecting a region there, and you can filter them by name. So here I'm showing all the transactions starting with M I've collected data for. And again, from here, you can right mouse click and you have options to show me used by program, used by transaction, and uses resources. So moving on to slide 51. So this is the uses resources. So I've issued from the previous transaction mail, I've right-clicked and selected uses resources and selected a region in which to look at that resources. So this view gives me some more information here. It lists by type the resources used, and you can expand the tree resources used there, and you can see the MQQ it's used, the name, and the command that's issued against it. And again, from here, you can actually go and right mouse click on that and go and show what other programs or other transactions are using that resource name, using the used program, used by program and used by transaction command. The bottom part of this view shows you the structure of the programs within the transaction mail, and that starting program is test 4CBD1. That links to test 4CBD2 and links to test 4CBD3. This is a very simple example here, but in customer environments, you know, this tree can get quite large. So actually finding out where a certain resource is used, it can be tricky, but within the uses view, if I was to go and select the MQ name just by hitting, selecting the cursor on it and selecting it, it would, in the empty part of the view here called by resource, it'll list all the programs that actually use that resource name. And in the bottom part of the view, you can see an up arrow and a down arrow. That those become highlighted, and you, by clicking the arrow, you can go through the tree in the bottom, showing you where exactly that resource name is used. Again, that's much better to demo. That's what I'll do. So moving on to slide 52. This is the one that of an used by view. So I've gone to, as I mentioned, you can right-click on that queue name and select used by program. So this is now showing me all the programs that have used this object. So I can see that TST4CBD2 has done a get queue. And so has CBD3 done a get, CBD4 has done a put one, and CBD1 done a close, inquire, and open. And so that's at the first level, but for each program that we've looked at that uses that object, like CBD2 does a get, we go further up. How did we get to that program? So that program was linked to from CBD1. And if I'd opened up the other branches for the test for CBD3, we'd have seen the linkage information for that program. Moving on to slide 53. Then now we're going to look at and we can write some queries using the query editor to answer some questions. So I've got a number of questions here, so they're quite simple, straightforward ones, but it does show you how easily it is to use the Explorer plugin. So question one is, which transactions are used in a region? Then I'm going to look at files used in a region, look at the differences there. And then I'm going to look at which transactions use a given file in that region. So I've queried down and found a particular file I'm interested in. Now I'm going to go back up and see what other programs and transactions are using that file. Then I'm going to look at, once I've found one of those transactions using a file, I want to find out more about that transaction. So I'm going to go back down again and find out what resources it uses. Then I'm going to look at, there's a facility to compare outputs from a query in the Kix Explorer. So I'm going to look at an example of how we can set up some queries and show programs that have business logic only, i.e. don't have a send-or-receive mapping. And these could be think candidates for being made web services. And then again, once I've found some of those programs, I'm going to use the Explorer to research more information about some of those programs. So you imagine that list of questions, if you as an application programmer, somebody came along and gave you that list, how long it would take you to find that information out. And hopefully by going through these slides and using the KixIA plugin, you can see that you can get the answers fairly quickly using KixIA. So moving on to slide 54. So the first one was which transactions are used in region IYDZ, EGZ2, are easy. So in the regions view, right-click, select transactions used. And slide 55 will show these results, hopefully. So those are all the transactions used in that region. And you do get a count, which is in the view, but it's not shown in here because I've cut it off. If this little window view was larger, you would get a count in the top right-hand corner. So that's the first question done with. Moving on to slide 56. Now I want to see all the files used by that region. So show files goes to a different view. The output here is in the resources view. And again, you can see the output here straight away. So then I right-click, show files, and there's the files I've actually captured information for in that region. So there's 14 of them. So that's question two answered. Moving on to the next slide. Now I was interested in which transaction actually used one of those files in that region. So then from the regions view, I'm going to right-click, select used by transactions, specify a region. As it turns out, there is only one region that uses that file. So again, that's already some extra information for you. Already, you're wanting to find out what transactions use this file, but you've already found some extra information that, oh, this file's only used in this one region. So you select that region, click OK, and we'll go on to slide 58. So that gives me all the transactions within that region using that file, and I can see that IT2 does a read, and the transaction that invokes that transaction is on a return from the transaction called slash FOR. Transaction IT8 does a read for update, and rewrite and a write. So that's answered the third question. So moving on to slide 59. So now I've found one of those transactions, I want to find more information about it. So I want to find all the resources actually used by transaction IT2 as well as that file. So from the used by view, I can right-click, select the user's resources, specific region, again one region, hit collect, and slide 60 should give us the answer. So now we're looking at the resources view. And we can see all the resources that's used it. And as I mentioned earlier, you can actually highlight where a specific read is done. So I've selected read on file item act in here. The by resource column in the middle shows me the program that actually issues that read. And if I stepped through the tree structure on the right-hand side, it highlights the actual program that does issue the read. So again, I've answered another question there on what resources are used by this transaction. So moving on to slide 61. As I mentioned now, we're going to quickly look at the compare facility, because I want to show all the programs that don't issue a send and receive. So our query editor is only set up to show us programs that do send, issue a send or receive. So what I need to do is create a query to show all the programs, another query to set the ones that do issue a send and receive, and then use a compare to compare those commands. So that will give me the reverse, i.e. the programs that don't have a send and receive. So moving on to slide 62. As I said, so we need to create a Kix query. So in the user's query, we right-click, select new, select Kix query. And then this opens up the query editor for the CEI Kix data table. So in slide 63, we can see the query editor. So I want to show here, this is creating, I'm just going to show all the programs with a region. So that's all I'm wanting to see in my results is the program. So any of the commands in converse, receive, send, and the Apple ID is IYDZEJ02. So we create that query, in OK. And the result should be in slide 64. And that gives me a list of 22 programs. So moving on to slide 65. Here I'm creating a list, a query to list all the programs in that region. So I've only selected the filter where region is IYDZEJ02. I'm moving on to slide 66. This is the result of all programs in that region. So there's 24 of them. So now I'm going to use the compare function in slide 67. So in your resources view, there's a little icon where you can select compare search results. So I'm going to ask for all the resources in query, all programs, and not in the programs that have presentation. And slide 68 should give us the results that there are two programs with no business logic, with no presentation logic, and only contains business logic, sorry. So moving on to slide 69, again, from that resources view, I can see all the programs that have used, all the programs have actually used the program without screen presentation in there. So the program we found was DSWSUBLZ, and that's linked to by many programs, 14 programs in that region. So again, if you're looking at doing, is this a candidate for being made a web services where it's linked to by a lot of programs, is only business logic, you might want to investigate further. So moving on to slide 70. You can actually go and see what resources it uses, or what does it do once reading some vSAM files using some temporary storage. So again, you can find out exactly what resources it's used. So moving on to slide 71. So that's all I was going to cover today. So in summary, I was saying all the data is stored in DB2 tables. We do provide sample queries in both the SCIU SAMP and SCIU SQL files, and the samples are provided for the plugin. So as I said before, so the main thing when you're looking at writing your own queries or trying to answer your own question is you want to be able to narrow it down by Apple ID, transaction ID, and program, and then further narrow it down using the resource type, file, web service, ARM service, and then further narrowing it down to the commands you can issue against those types. So write, read for update, read against a file. So that's looking downwards. And once you've discovered a resource that you're interested in, and you want to, you can go back up the chain and show me all the programs that use that resource, or show me all the regions that use that resource. So I would imagine in 90% of your queries that you'd be using Apple ID, Trans ID, program, type, and command, and the the object name itself. So that's all I was going to talk about today. So moving on to the next slide, I think we've got some information slides here. So these are a number of links to various places. So it includes a link to sites that provide valuable online resources for KIX Transaction Server. So there's a new WebSphere and KIX blog, support blog. And there's IBM KIX on Twitter, where you can find news and updates. You can subscribe to get KIX APARs and notify when APARs are closed. Use the My Notifications to sign up for a daily or weekly email update for the products of interest. You can look at the KIX featured documents link to see a summary of the most requested documents. And you can also listen to the webcasts for KIX and Omegamon and KIX tools and search from the KIX Transaction Server Support webpage. There's a number of links there, and I think if you follow those links, some of those links, you can get to the KIX tools and the KIX Explorer pages. And now I'll hand you back.
Thank you, Ant, for a great presentation. At this point in time, Jackie, we would like to open the lines for questions.
Our first question comes from Mike Giaquanto. Your line is open.
Hi, Ann. How are you? We've been installing KIX IA recently, and actually have just started getting some data to look at. So this is timely for us, so I appreciate the call. One question I have, actually a few questions, if you don't mind. I'll try to keep them short. One is on the performance overhead of using use counts. We turned that off initially, and we've been collecting some data, and I'm wondering if it's okay to turn it on, or will we see an impact by turning that on?
The impact of switching on use count is minimal, because basically what we do within the exits is we store that information in a But basically what we do is the first time we'll see an exec KIX call, we'll obviously have the first time and last time and use count, and then we'll only update the use count on a scale depending on how many times we see it, that exec KIX command. So on the 10th time we'll see it, we'll update the use count with 10 and the last use timestamp with that timestamp. And then we go to the 100th time we see it, we'll update the data space with that. The count is now 100 and the last use time. So we don't do it every time you update that exec KIX command is run. So once you're into the thousandth, we're only updating it every thousandth time we see that exec KIX command.
Very good, thanks. I'm wondering if there's any plans for the screen type updates you have for CINT, the control file changes, to be something more global, like perhaps kept in and managed by KIX Explorer.
I can't reveal any of our plans on this call, I'm afraid, but there will be an announcement soon about the next KIX IA.
Cool.
And we have no further questions.
Thank you, Jackie. And at this time, we will conclude the presentation.